Okay, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, if you're not for certain what we've been preaching on, we have been preaching on praying effectively. You know, sometimes you feel like you're praying and you're just beating your head against a wall and you can't figure out what's holding you back. Well, I just want to tell you there are some things that the Bible says that if we pray this way, it becomes an effective prayer. James 5:16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Now, that was the very first message we taught in this series. And just a little plug here. Here very soon, this entire series will be available online to hear on our website, athisfeetcc.com. So you'll be able to just go there, click on it, and it'll probably come through the Windows Media Player or whatever it is you got, and it'll play. So we are currently working on putting those on there, and we're working on pictures. Don't worry too much. We will work. We'll get on pictures. I have to shave first, so. See, Tim asked me the other day. He said, "Okay," and I was noticing today again. There was only five guys, who did not have facial hair of some sort. Last week there were only two, but anyhow, no, I had a fever blister. So I thought, well, fever blister, I ain't shaving over that thing all week. So praise God. And Angela agreed, so there we go. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Joel chapter 2. We're going to start there. Some of you probably already know where we're going. We are going to talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something people kick out of their prayers. You should not kick the Holy Spirit out, ever. If you want the very presence of God, you want everything the Holy Spirit has. People, you know, and we all react differently as far as our physical bodies to the effects of the Holy Spirit. I've seen people, they just get pure tea drunk. And I've been in those services, and I felt the same Holy Spirit. And while they can't walk, I can feel the presence. I know he's moving, but it didn't hit me the same way. So you're different people. It's just like everything else. You know, you may respond to it a little differently. The doctors will always tell you, this is what we're expecting to happen with this medicine. Some people, however, you know, you ever notice they put those long disclaimers, and what amazes, and it scares me to think of how they had to figure out, they always end, and sometimes death. Yeah. Why do I want to take that? I just got a bladder infection. But somebody will take it. That's okay. Well, it's a full range of motion. Tim Hawkins says, you take it, say, yeah, you can move your shoulder around, but, you know, brings up all kinds of other problems, but the Holy Spirit does not bring about problems. The Holy Spirit brings about change in your life, power into your life. We're going to look at that. But it's also in your prayer life. And like I said, there have been many times that the Holy Spirit has been abused. Let's just put it that way. People have done some really goofy things, and they've called it the Holy Spirit. I've been in some of those services, and it was the farthest thing from holy that I could ever see. Because I judge it by what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I've done teachings on the Holy Spirit and operating in the gifts as far as prophecy and the things of that nature. And there is, the Apostle Paul had to take this into reins. That's why he wrote it in 1 Corinthians. It's because the Corinthian church was abusing it. Everybody and their brother was standing up giving a prophecy. And some of them weren't interpreting. And he said, no, that's not how it goes, guys. You're just rambling on. So now, let's go, as I say, I better get to Joel, but I'm there. Joel chapter 2, let's go to verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my maidservants and my manservants will I pour out my spirit in those days." What days is he talking about? Well, he started in the book of Acts, is when it began. And we are still in that day, ladies and gentlemen. The day never passed. We are still in that time. The Holy Spirit is still being poured out upon his children. Male or female, it does not matter. The Holy Spirit will move through whoever is willing. I've seen mighty men of God who reject anything from the Holy Spirit and they couldn't go any further. I can't think of a worse way to put an end to your ministry. So this was 800 years before Christ. 800 years before the day of Pentecost. That the prophet Joel prophesied that God was going to pour out his Spirit. And he said pour. Not drink, we're about to have baptism today. And, I'm going to dunk you. You're going completely under. I don't believe in the little sprinkling on the water. Baptism means submerged. In other words, if you need a periscope or a breathing apparatus, you might want to bring it. I won't hold you too long, Jesse, but... And this word pour means the same thing. When you pour something out, do you just trickle it out? No. When you're pouring, when I want somebody to put stuff in my glass, I don't want them to take 10 minutes to fill my glass. Pour it liberally. And that's what God does with his Holy Spirit, because he knows how vitally important it is for us. There's the saddest scripture in the entire Bible. Can anybody know what it is? Does anybody know what it is? It involves Samson. It said the Spirit of the Lord departed from him and he knew it not. He was so full of sin, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit left him. He had the Holy Spirit. And what do you think it was that gave him his physical strength? It was the Holy Spirit. It was that anointing on him. It's the holy anointing that's on me that enables me to preach. It's not a natural gift or a natural ability. Yes, I could get up in front and talk to people, but this is a totally different ballgame. It's what enables you to do what you are called to do. It's what enables the praise team to sing like they do. It's because of the Holy Spirit. It's not because you can get up and practice for hours and hours on end and still stink. Just put it that way. But the anointing makes all the difference. Yeah, and I've heard people say, well, I've got a degree in music. I went to this college and I've done this and I've done that. Big whoop-de-doo. You do not have the anointing. You have mind power. You have knowledge. That's all you have. You have an ability. I prefer to have somebody who has had some training as far as I know Bobby took lessons. I'm sure Tim did, wherever he's in here somewhere. They all somewhere along the line took lessons, or they just started learning. Joshua, when he learned to play drums, he'd banging on mom's pots and pans in the basement. I'd come home, I'm like, why does he have your very expensive pans downstairs? He's playing the drums. This was at 3 years of age. And, now Joshua can, he's taken a few minor lessons, and I think the person that was teaching him realized that Joshua knew more than he did. Joshua just needed some reins pulled in on him as far as speed. Because Joshua would love to play thrash metal, that's all I can say. That's all he would love to do all the time. But anyhow, it's an anointing. The anointing is what moves. And the anointing on your prayers. That's why you can pray effectively. When I pray, I want to know that I'm doing it for a purpose. Will you pray, brother? Well, what am I praying about? Well, we just want you to pray. I need to know what I'm praying about. When we have war on the floor, that's why I have you give me your prayer requests. And we all join in and support. And then I lead the prayer. But I have something I know that I'm running with. I have a purpose. And I can wrap myself and pour the Holy Spirit into that prayer, and it will come to pass. It may take some time. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick, pray for the sick, and they shall recover. People think if I didn't get healed instantly, that suddenly God doesn't heal anymore. No, it says they shall recover. Anybody know what the word recover means? It takes time. That's why there's a recovery period after surgery. Recover, you know, you go to recover a vehicle. It's going to take time to pull that thing out of the ditch. You can't just go snap your fingers and it's on the road again. It's going to take time. Now, turn over to Luke 24. We're going to hit a few scriptures here this morning. Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." What promise? The promise in Joel. The promise in Joel is what he was talking about. The promise wasn't just a vague thing or just a nickname for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was promised 800 years before. And these people have been waiting on this promise. "My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." I love that. Now you can get power here on earth. You know, that's great. Yeah, whoop-de-doo. How would you like to have the power that flows from the throne of God? That's where I'd prefer to get my power. I don't know about you. Because there's only so much power man can have. We could not have ever gone into space if God did not permit it. Okay, they tried that once before. And I forget exactly how tall they did. It was tall. The Tower of Babel was tall. I'm trying to remember. Man, I wish I could remember. But anyhow, it was very tall. It was actually getting up into the clouds. And God said, there ain't nothing going to stop them. Nobody ever stopped and thought, well, you know what? Why did God let us go into space? Because he's going to pour out more revelation now, and we have the Holy Spirit. They did not have the Holy Spirit. They did not have redemption. They did not have salvation. So here they were trying to climb up there, and they said, we're going into heaven. Boy, how dumb was Nimrod? You ever heard somebody call you a Nimrod or something like that? Well, first off, Nimrod was a very evil man, and he had his heart set on becoming God. And so ultimately, God said, nope, not happening. I have greater power. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to make some of you speak Chinese or Mandarin. Just a little lesson there for you. It's not called Chinese, it's called Mandarin. I'm going to have some of you speak Tagalog, Swahili. Some of you are going to speak English. Arabic, some of you going to speak Spanish, Portuguese, Russian, German, Latin. That's what God did. All from one God. And some of you are going to still speak Hebrew. Now, I'm not certain if you realize this or not, but the Hebrew is believed to be the language of God. It's believed to be the language of the garden that was carried through, and it was only through the line of Eber, who was under Shem, that it came through, who was a father of Abraham. So that is why they are called the Hebrews. And so that is believed to be the language that God speaks, is Hebrew. Now, so we see that Jesus told the disciples, he said, but tarry here now and wait. Now I want to point out something. Let's see. Anyhow, there were roughly 500 people when he was speaking to them. He told them all to wait. 500 people. How many people were in the upper room? 120. That means 380 people just couldn't wait. They had more important things to do than to wait for power from on high. I don't know about you, but when the Holy Spirit's poured out upon you so greatly that you look like you're on fire, that's a service I want to be in. I don't know about you. John Bevere pointed this out the other day. He was talking about the tongues. He said, it wasn't just a little tongue above their head. When you are totally engulfed in flames, that's what's going to be left. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, and they were totally engulfed in the fire of God. And that's what gave them the boldness. The Holy Spirit will give you boldness. So now let's turn over to Acts. We'll just go right there. Acts chapter 1 for starters. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's the last things he spoke on earth. Because it says when he spoke those, he was taken up at other sight while he was speaking. In other words, folks, you're going to receive power. It's going to make you a witness. People say, "Lord, help me to witness to people." What did Jesus just say in Acts 1:8? You shall receive power. The Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, if you have the Holy Spirit, you automatically have that power. You don't have to work on trying to figure out how to be a witness to somebody. Your life should always prove it. Your life should always be a witness. That's why it said you shall be. "Well, Pastor, I just can't speak to people." It didn't say you were going to talk, did it? It just said you're going to be a witness. How many of you have ever spoke at a wedding you were invited to? Guess what? You were witnessing. You were just there. You are a witness just being alive. But the Holy Spirit can make that even more effective. Now, I don't know about you, but when I find there's something that can make my job more effective and easier, you know, well, like we had some work done on a computer, and we found out we only had the bare minimums to run the computer as far as memory. We had 256 megabytes. Now, for you computer guys, you know what that means. We were running on leaded fuel from 1955, trying to run a 2010 Ferrari. Okay, it ain't going to run. So we had the bare minimums. But when he found out, "Hey, your computer will handle 2 gigs. I said, "Let's get the 2 gigs. You know what I want now? I want 4. Okay? I'll just be flat out honest. I couldn't believe how fast it was. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Yeah, you're okay on your own. You're going to be a little slower, I mean, anytime we'd go to click, every time I'd be on eBay looking for something. After about 4 pages, you could forget it. You had to log off, clear the cookies and everything, and start over. And then it took 20 minutes for all that to happen because it had to reboot. So now I don't have to do that. I'm like, sweet. But if you've got the Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit can tell you things as well. Now, I am going to link us back to prayer time. Don't worry about that. But the Holy Spirit will tell you things. It'll tell you things about somebody. You may have to go, God may tell me something to tell Richard. Richard ain't shared that with anybody. But yet, because I know it, Richard knows, okay, somebody besides me has talked. And I haven't told anybody, so evidently that's God. That is called a witness of the Holy Spirit. It backs what the Holy Spirit's doing. That's why the Bible says that if particularly a sinner, now Richard's saved, but that's why I had to reroute that. I had to stop for a second. Richard is a Christian. But let's say this guy over here is not saved. And God tells me to tell him something, and he's like, "Nobody on this earth knows that." How do you know that? The Holy Spirit told me because God loves you. That is a witness to that man of God's love for him. Okay? And that has happened. God will tell you to do something and they'll just start crying. "I never told anybody." That's because the Holy Spirit told me. And I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here because I'm the last person to judge you. But what I am here to tell you is that God loves you that much that he cares for you. Now, I, I don't know about you, but I like power. You know, I'm one of those guys, if we can make it go faster, make it go faster. If you can make it louder, make it louder. If you can make it perform better, make it perform better, right? That's what I want to do with my prayer. I want my prayers to not have to slow down through the spiritual warfare that's going on around us. I want them to punch a hole. You know, I think I've shared this before. Several years ago at a reunion, a family reunion on my side, my cousin, her husband, was a captain in the Army. And, you know, we were sitting there talking, and I forget what we got onto, and, you know, I just almost said, I was in the Marines for 4 years during Desert Storm, that era. And he said, you know, he said, the biggest difference I've seen about the Marines and the Army is, he said, the Army likes to maneuver itself around and get all positioned. The Marines just prefer to blow a hole through the thing and drive through it. And that's the truth. I mean, come on. Why do you think they were in Baghdad hanging an American flag off of Saddam's face? But that's the way I want my prayers. I don't know about you guys, but I want my prayers not to try to figure out how to get around a thing, but to be able to blow right through it and get to where it's going. You know, I don't think today our natural arsenal, our natural weaponry is so awesome. I mean, you see these tanks sitting out in the desert, you know, the turrets are all peeled wide open, and, you know, they're just burned out messes. I mean, they're just totally obliterated. What you got to understand is those are not chintzy tanks. Those are the equivalent of our M60 tanks from the Vietnam era. And the Marine Corps had them up until Desert Storm. Desert Storm, we finally got an Abrams, but I think we had 5 Abrams during Desert Storm. The rest of them were these 1960-something M60 tanks. But that the turret on that tank itself weighs 14 tons. That's 28,000 pounds of steel. That's not the barrel. That is just the turret. That thing is about that thick. Solid steel. And we have got bullets that will poke a hole through that. That's in the natural. What do you think the Holy Spirit does to your prayers in the spiritual? The devil doesn't have any weapon against it. Like I said, I'm going to get to this, but I just want you to understand just how vitally important the Holy Spirit is to your prayer time, to your personal prayer time. And, you know, even when we get together, corporate prayer time. You know, because that's the thing, you know, those of you that have been here on War on the Floor, you know, most of the people that are out here, you're praying in the Spirit, and I'm praying with the understanding, and I will pray in the Spirit, but what's happening is the devil's kingdom is getting, you know, his entourage that's trying to hinder our prayers, he's getting blasted. If you understand the analogy of the armor-piercing round going through that turret, you will understand all of those prayers are just obliterating him. Now, and while they're doing that, the prayers in the natural are just passing right through because, you know, how many of you remember, you know, I think about all most of you in here are old enough to remember the pictures from Desert Storm. You remember getting those on, you know, the night vision, and they showed all those missiles and stuff, you know, that we're firing from 1,500 miles away on a ship into safety. That's what it looks like in the spiritual when we're praying. It's shooting. Those prayers are going through there, and the devil doesn't know where to go. So, anyhow, now, let's go over to Acts chapter 2. I will start in verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Now, this word means they were being unanimous, having mutual consent, being in agreement, and having group unity, having one mind and one purpose. I'll tell you right now, folks, in individual bodies, That is a big time problem. I'm not talking about the church as a whole. You know, different groups. That's not what I'm talking about. That is a problem in and of itself. But the truth of the matter is, we will never actually have where churches get together and do all this stuff, because we're all called to do something slightly different. I do not want my ears and my nose getting together. I've got a problem if that ever happens. Something's missing. My ears have their job in the body. My nose has its job. I want them both doing their job. We all have our own job. But in the individual bodies, there is no unity. We have people bickering over the color of the carpet. What's the color of the wall? What the preacher wore today. I think the preacher ought to shave. I think the preacher ought to take the highlights out of his hair. I think the preacher ought to quit wearing blue jeans. I don't care what you think. It's not about clothes. I could go get a bathrobe and preach in it. I think I got one somewhere. Every time I get it out, my wife grabs it, and she, because it's a big, heavy one. I'm like, I brought my robe up for a reason. But anyhow. But the problem within the bodies is you've got too much bickering. They're not in one mind. These people were in an upper room in a house, no air conditioning, folks. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen pictures of Israel. Looks pretty much like a desert to me. And it only cools down in a desert at night, not during the daytime. So you got 120 people. They're probably in a room, well, actually the room is probably the size of this building, because they could have 500 in there, is what they had. 380 of them left and went home, remember? Oh, you know, I got to feed the dog. Let the dog eat the neighbor's trash, for crying out loud. Don't worry about the dog. What God wants to send you is so much more important than taking care of a dog. The dog ain't going to starve. I mean, shoot, he might chew up your lazy boy. There, that'll take care of that. He's fed. Now you got a reason to shoot him. No. I'm just teasing. Joshua will shoot him for you. No. But anyhow, getting together in unity in our beliefs, that is what makes a body strong. And it takes leadership to do that. I'll just tell you that flat out. No matter where you're, it's going to take leadership to do that. And that leadership has to know that it was put there for a reason. Not just, well, my granddaddy was a preacher, my daddy was a preacher, my uncles are preachers, thought I'd be a preacher. That does not make you a preacher. My granddaddy was an engineer on a choo-choo. Woo-hoo, you know? But that didn't mean I automatically was going to work for B&O Railroad. Neither does that automatically mean you're going to be a preacher. Now, there are some kids who get the anointing. They work and they discipline themselves and they submit, and they have an anointing on them. But I've met some of the children of preachers, and you know, they're ordained, they're all this, they're that, and I'm like, why are you ordained? You're the biggest spiritual moron I've ever seen. You don't love the people. You think the people are here to serve you. Anyhow, don't get me on that soapbox. Now, as I'd be like saying that Joshua has to become a preacher because I was a preacher. Or that Joshua, if he decides to join the military, has to join the Marines. No. Well, first off, I'll tell you, it's not for everybody. And second off, I mean, I'm biased, yes. But I've already told him, if you want to join the military, I will not force you to join the Marines. You join whichever branch you want, but you serve honorably. That's all I ask, is that you do your job and you do it with everything you've got. Nor does that mean that they're going to be home improvement contractors. No. If Jesse keeps it up, Jesse's going to be a marine biologist. He already knows more about dolphins, snakes, whales, sharks, sea turtles. I mean, the kid's 8 years old and can draw a better looking catfish than they publish in the books. He knows what he's talking about. He loves that. Now, so they were all with one accord in one place. That's why it is kind of vital. I mean, it's you know, I'm sure those other 380 later got the Holy Spirit, okay? Don't think they totally missed out. I'm sure they ended up getting it. But because they were there, they were under the glory spout when it came out, okay? I've been in Holy Spirit meetings before, and I've never seen anybody consumed in fire. Everybody saw this. The sinners heard it. They heard the, which if you've ever been around, I don't know, maybe you've never done this before, pour gasoline on something and then walk away and then come back and then that happens, you know, your hair gets a little shorter. And but that is, there's something to it. When you're at the meeting, yeah, you can pick it up later, but it ain't quite like being there when you got it. I mean, that's why I'm like, man, Lord, we pray for the Spirit to be poured out in this place. Lord, pour it out. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. It's going to take us all to be in one accord, not worrying about dinner afterwards, having to go to the in-laws, having to do this, having to do that. Listen, if the Holy Spirit pours out on you, and you are consumed, you look like a flame, you look like the Human Torch, you know, off of the Fantastic Four. Do you think you want to go home right then? No, personally. I'm going to stay here because I want some of that. I want to walk out and people see this. Because I want to tell you something, was it 3,000 people got added to the church because of this? In one meeting. Now, I ain't never been in a service where 3,000 people got saved. I've been in some big services. Like, I think it was Wednesday night, I was pointing out, the problem with Billy Graham crusades is it's only Christians that go to them anymore. The Christians are the ones showing up to Billy Graham crusades, and most of them are there just hoping that Billy Graham's going to preach. Well, he doesn't preach anymore. It's some other guy, I forget. Personally, I think the guy needs to launch his own ministry and quit running on Billy Graham's coattails. Now, let's finish up with chapter 2 here. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. Now, I was at a meeting one time where a sinner, this man's wife went to church with us. This guy said he'd never come to church. Well, his wife kept coming home. She was changing. The Holy Spirit was changing her. She was coming home, and he started noticing a big, and he was a fireman. He started noticing a big difference in her. And he said, I think I will come to one of those meetings. Besides that, she was coming home acting drunk, but she wasn't drunk. He said, I think I'm going to come to one of those meetings. He said, I don't believe you. I think you guys are drinking. Well, it was probably about 3/4 of the way through the service. I mean, the Holy Spirit, I mean, you know, the minister's ministering and he's, the Holy Spirit's fallen, you know. I was a sound man during that time, so I had I remember seeing a lot of it. Next thing you know, this guy is sitting over here and you can see he started to cry. And when he started weeping, the next thing you knew, he was running. This was a bowling alley. This church was a big bowling alley. I mean, it was wider than the one down here. And it would hold about 600-700 people. He's running inside the sanctuary of this church yelling, I'm on fire. The Holy Spirit fell upon him. and changed his life instantly. He was one of the nicest. I didn't get to know him very long because we weren't there much longer. The Lord told us to come back to Ohio. But a few times I did get to talk to him. And his wife, you know, said he was always a nice guy, but he wasn't like this. And he said, I was, and I was hateful. I was mean to her. I'm surprised she ever stayed there. But the Holy Spirit changed all that in one instant. That's what the fire can do. You know, fire, if you get near fire, it's going to change something, isn't it? Pretty good, you know. I was trying to heat up a bolt yesterday, and in the process kept getting that piece of metal hot and forgetting that the rest of it was hot, and it changes your fingerprints for a little while. Now, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, first off, what this means is each person was getting it. It wasn't somebody training somebody else. Now, I've been in services where that's been the norm. Okay, repeat after me. No, the Holy Spirit is not anything you can train somebody to pray in. You cannot do it. And if you're doing it, then it's fake. So just go home. Because you didn't get anything out of the service anyhow. But it said, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. In other words, as the Spirit was filling them, they began to speak in other tongues. Now, in this case, many of them were speaking other actual languages. If you read on down through here, which we're going to skip through part of it. But when they went out, people thought they were drunk. And, you know, but the rest of the Jews that were from other countries said, I understand what she's saying, but she's obviously a Galilean. Why is it I understand that she's speaking Latin? She doesn't know Latin, because Galileans were not smart people. Okay, I want you to get this. The Galileans were not known for their intelligence. Somebody told me an acronym for the word Marine. Muscles are required, intelligence not expected. Because if you had the intelligence, you wouldn't do what it took to get the job done. I'll just put it that way. If you were so smart, you wouldn't do it. Heck no. But you want me to run out there and they're shooting at me? I don't think so. Now let's go on to verse 5. I got to change pages here. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. In other words, they heard the sound. There were even times, ladies and gentlemen, at that church that the fire chief would show up. Because somebody called in and said the church was on fire. There would be flames licking up. They called it in. And after a couple times, they finally said, we'll go out and check first. And they went out there, no. We're just having meetings. The police were pulling people over. You're drunk. Now, I don't agree that they should have been driving. Sit, let it wear off. Because I remember one night, some friends of ours, and this one gal, she was just so, Jackie, she was very conservative, you know, just real quiet, you know, she wouldn't do anything goofy. They stopped at the bus station there in Jacksonville. They're rolling around in the bushes, man. He knows where I'm talking about. They're rolling around in the bushes. The cops stop. Are you ladies okay? Oh, you know. And they started saying something. He said, let me guess, you've been at Word of Faith. Yeah. Okay, ladies, have a good night. He left them in the bushes. I forget why they stopped to begin with, but anyhow. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all those who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Wow. They didn't have time to sit and take the Rosetta Stone crash course on how to speak, Medes or, you know, whatever, the Cyrenians, Egyptian, Cretans and Arabs, they did not have time to take the crash course on speaking those languages. The Holy Spirit, where do you think all the languages came from? They came from God. I don't know about you, but that must be a pretty, you know, how many of you, you've probably seen Bruce Almighty, some of you. It's a cute show. You know, there's obviously some theological issues with the show, but, you know, in there, I think he told God, he says, I think I can do a better job, basically. And God says, well, here, it's yours. And he starts getting all the prayers. The prayers come across the computer as emails. He can't keep up with them. And they're all, you know, just all these prayers. So he starts answering them all yes, which screws everything up. And, you know, you got 500 people winning the lottery, so they all each get a dollar or something like that. And, you know. So, but God used this and speaking in regular languages. Now, there is a language that we do not know of, that it speaks directly to the heart of God. Now, I've been, you know, been in here praying before, and I told Angela, and one particular time that I was in here praying, you know, I was just walking around in here praying, I was just praying in the Spirit, and I heard myself, just because of, you know, listening to, watching movies and documentaries, I heard four different dialects. You can ask my wife. She has to keep reminding me what Spanish words are in a lot of cases. I remember one word in Tagalog. That's para. It means halt. Halt, para. Because if I say para, it means I'm shooting the next time. That's the only reason I remember, because that was guard duty. That's all we needed to know. And if they didn't stop, we shot them. So that's all it was. But, you know, and I did learn, you know, I didn't learn to say no in Japanese until 1997, was it? The sad part is I left Japan in 1991. Boy, I'd have got along a lot better if I'd learned to say no. All I knew was hi, which means yes. Hi, hi. You know, learned just enough to get me around and, yeah. But anyhow. So now let's go to 12 and through 13. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocked, saying, they are full of new wine. They're drunk. They're giddy. You know, you've been, now I'll tell you, there are two types of drunks. There are the goofy drunks, and then there are the mean drunks. Now you know what I'm, if you've been around drunks, you know what I'm talking about. They're the kind that you just stay away from them. They're mean. Then there's the goofy ones that do stupid things, like push porta pots off the crates while your buddy's in it. You know, those kind of guys. I don't know who did that. But those are the goofy guys. I'm going to tell you what happens is, what with alcohol, it brings out something that's already in you. It just magnifies what's already there. That's what it does. The Holy Spirit will also magnify, but the Holy Spirit, if there's bad things, he won't magnify it so that you act mean. What he'll do is he'll burn it out. That's how God refines us. If you ever read the Bible, he refines us as silver. You don't come out of the smelting pot until you reflect him. So the quicker you get the job done, the quicker you can get out of the pot. Now, so these people were just saying, oh, they're all just drunk. They're goofy. Peter stood up and he said, they are not drunk as you suppose. I think what time of day was it? It was the third hour. It was 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Unless you're a Marine, you're not going to be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then Peter goes on to quote what the prophet Joel spoke. What the promise was, that the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. And it was poured out on all flesh for strength, for power. Again, like I said, you have to keep going back to the analogy of, you know, if you've ever watched, I personally love watching those military videos, you know, when you watch the missile come down on top of the tank and the missile just disappears. It ain't because the missile's blowing to pieces. It's because the missile's penetrating that tank and then blowing it up. I love watching that stuff. It just does something for me. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians 14. Gets me a little excited. Especially when I think and know that my God, in the spiritual, God's weapons, you know, we'd say, oh, we got a sword. You know, the devil's got flaming arrows. Anybody remember the sword that the angel that got to guard the gate to Eden, the entrance to Eden? Remember his sword? It went all the way around, baby. You didn't go near that sword. I don't know what kind of, it said sword, but something tells me it was not just an ordinary sword. I mean, shoot, for all I know, God was the one that created Star Wars. I mean, that angel standing there, you know, you ain't getting by him, he's going to cut you. God's not got a weak arsenal. Unfortunately, sometimes the weakest point in God's arsenal is us, because we like to operate in the flesh. We like to deal, we're going to have to go fight this battle in the flesh. No, keep dealing with it in the spirit. Keep dealing with it in the spirit and watch what God does. Because anybody figured it out, when we get involved, things get nasty, they get messy. It always happens for me. I act out in the flesh and I go take care of it myself, and next thing you know, why did I do that? Man, look at the retaliation. And I don't know who did it, so I can't go get them. Just let God deal with it, and he takes care of it. Now, we are in 1 Corinthians 14, starting verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. That's why you don't understand it. You're not talking to your neighbor. You're talking to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Now, what he's talking about there is words of edification that are brought forth in the church. In this chapter, Paul deals with both prayer and prophecies that are brought forth in the church. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues. That's Paul's wish in the Corinthian church. Now you would think that inside the fact that 3,000 people got saved in one meeting, I forget how many thousand got saved in another, and another 3,000, and people were, you know, Paul's turning around casting demons out of fortune tellers, and, you know, prisons are being shaken. Peter just walks out of prison. You know, the lame man sitting at the gate called Beautiful gets up and he's healed. You think that would have been enough for people to say, I want that. Even Simon the sorcerer said, how much can I have that Holy Spirit for? Because he knew there was power. He knew there was a power there that he needed. And he was a witch. He had practiced witchcraft and got saved, but unfortunately, not all of him got saved. He kept back a part for himself, which he was told to get away because he wasn't getting any of it. The Holy Spirit cannot be bought. Now, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Again, that's Paul going into talking about the prophetic edification building up the church. That's a kind of a different subject there as far as what we're talking about, because we're talking about praying. When a word's brought forth, it is brought forth to build up, to encourage the church. Paul went on to say, but how is it when you come together, everybody's got one? It's confusing. We don't get the praise. We don't get the message. We don't get built up. So Paul said, let two, three at the most. But I will put it this way. Paul was not one to just back away. He said, now listen, if you bring forth a tongue, it's your responsibility to interpret that. Because evidently they had a bunch of people that were just praying in tongues and thought it was a message. So note that if God ever does put that on, he'll put it on your heart. You bring it forth and he'll do it. So just make sure that it's the Holy Spirit. We're going to hit some things here. Now let's go over to 14. Again, this is Paul, and he said, "For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding." Now, there are times you don't know what to pray. And that's when the spirit prays. There are groanings that cannot be uttered. You don't know how, but the Holy Spirit knows exactly what is needed. All you need to say is, "Lord, I pray that you..." I'm going to pick on you, Richard, since you're closest to the front row. Richard's like, nuts. And I see why Phil's in the back. God may tell me to pray for Richard, but I don't know how to pray what Richard needs. I'll just pray, "Lord, I bless my brother right now in Jesus' name," and just start praying in tongues and let God do what has to be done. It's nothing goofy, but it's been turned into something goofy. And it's nothing that's made up. You cannot make it up and be real. And maybe you can help me, but I shared this a couple weeks ago about the university that did the study, and they were trying to prove that tongues were made up. And I can't remember which one. Maybe you might by the time. Okay. Anyhow, so they did studies on people, while they're talking and trying to think, and your brain produces waves while you're trying to think, right? At least it's supposed to in normal people. So they got some spirit-filled Christians in there, and they asked them, "We want to do this study." So they put the sensors on them and said, "Now we'd like for you to go ahead and pray." And the Christians began to pray. You know what they found out? There were no brain waves moving. They were not thinking. Why? Because of what Paul just said. It's not us that prays, it's the Spirit that prays. And if it's the Spirit that prays, I can't make those words up. And I will go down this road right now while I'm here. When you do get filled with the Spirit, it's just like any other language. You start off, you didn't automatically come out of the womb and start speaking. What would you have done if your kids came out and said, "Hey, Mama, how's it going? Where's Pops?" You'd have been like, "I need a priest. He's not supposed to be talking yet." They started off, my kids, usually it's Dada. It's a real easy word. Mamas, it's nothing personal. It's just easy. We realize you do majority of the work. But we got to talk to JD. He's instigating that. Anyhow. So when you pray, you just start uttering what the Holy Spirit is doing. Just like he said, there was the utterance. As you get the utterance, you may only get one or two words, and then you work on them. But it is a language. You don't just stop there. You continue to surrender to the Holy Spirit and let him flow. You understand? I always thought for years, I was like, it's the same, blah, 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 blah. If I do that naturally, you're going to tell me I'm stuttering, I'm stuck. However, if you continue to grow, your language grows, does it not? I can say a lot of big words now that I couldn't say when I was 4 years old. And I now have the understanding of the word no, K-N-O-W, versus N-O. I tried to spell them the same way in the first grade, and the teacher's like, "No, it's K-N-O. It sounds the same." But I finally got it because I learned, I matured, I grew. And that's the same way in the Spirit. You will grow, you will develop. But don't stay a baby forever on it. You don't have to stay a baby. That's what people say. "Well, you got to be saved 20 years and do all this and do that and da, 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 before you can eat, before you're even worthy to clean the toilets. Bless God, you get saved tomorrow, I can have you clean the toilets the next day. No, I'm not going to let you count the offering the next day. I'm going to get to know you a little bit. But you see what I'm saying? There's a maturity that comes, and it has to come with tongues. Now, the reason Paul was talking about for my understanding is sometimes there is things we specifically want to ask God. And we can do that. But like I said before, when you add the Holy Spirit to your prayer life, it's like you getting out of that M60 tank. I mean, your prayer is a potent thing. Getting out of that little M60 tank and going over here and getting in this brand new M1 Abrams that can shoot 20 miles away versus 10. And it can blow tanks like that to pieces and can do 65 miles an hour. And if you understand, that thing weighs 100 tons. That's boogieing, man. That thing's got a 1,200 horsepower engine and, oh, yeah. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 10 real quick. What I'm establishing most and foremost here is the fact that it is God's will for the Holy Spirit. Today, a lot of churches are saying that, and I'm going to hit this here in a second, that it's not God's will. The Holy Spirit was for that time and that time only. That the Holy Spirit has passed away. No, you locked the Holy Spirit out of the church. The Holy Spirit needs to be there. He is part of the Godhead. Okay? You can't just say, well, we want the Father and Son, but you can keep the Holy Ghost. Well, that's okay. I want the whole package. Now, did I go to 10 myself? Acts chapter 10, verse 44. That's where I want to start. It said, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. These were the Jews that had followed Peter out there. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now I want to point out that God has a way of blowing all of our religious traditions right out of the water. Now, we're going to have a baptism today, but I know Jesse's been saved. Confession is made unto salvation. Baptism is an outward sign of the surrender. But let me show you something here. The Holy Spirit, God's very presence living in us, has been poured out upon Gentiles. Now, you got to remember how Gentiles were treated. Let's go back to the 1900s up until about 1970, and there's still some areas that are still pretty bad, but how black people were treated. Don't you talk to me. You're on the wrong side of the tracks, buddy. Get back on your side of town. You know, I watched the Ernie Davis story the other day, The Express. Great movie. Made me mad. I want to go to West Virginia and start burning crosses in some of them Hicks yards. Not because I'm a KKK person, because they were. How they treated, they spit and they throw bottles. I mean, it just made me mad at the ignorance of people. God is God. He created every human being on this earth, whether you're black, white, yellow, purple. Well, if you're purple, there was a problem. It doesn't matter, okay? Some of us are whiter than others. Anyhow, God did not discern that these guys were Gentiles. He didn't say, hey guys, we need to check to see if you're circumcised. He didn't do that. He poured his spirit out on them. They began to speak in tongues and they were glorifying God. And in verse 47, this is what Peter said. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized? Now, see, where I've been trained up was you had to be water baptized before you could be baptized and filled with the Spirit. Now, I just read to you the Bible. Is that what you see? No. I see where God says, it doesn't matter the order. You have to get saved. So Peter's like, hey, let's go down to the creek. Let's get them baptized. Now, we can take Jessica and Jenna down to the creek, but it's a little cold right now. You know, we're in a different region than they were, okay? I'm sure they'd appreciate not breaking the ice and, you know, coming up, their teeth chattering. Although my dad got baptized in a church, and that's what they did. Took him down to the creek in February. I think they said they didn't feel they got all the demons out, so they baptized him again. So Peter is just preaching and the Holy Spirit falls. There's many different ways, folks. Some of you can have somebody pray for you. You can ask. That's the simplest thing to do, is ask God. You don't have to be in a service. My parents laid hands on me. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I'm 10 years old. The Holy what? Didn't understand a thing. And then they're praying, and they're expecting me to pray, and I started crying because I said, don't beat me. I said, don't spank me. I don't feel it. I can't speak anything. It was 6 more years before I even began to try. I knew I'd been baptized, but it was 6 more years. And then I put it on the shelf, and then it was another 5. But you know what happened? See, I got baptized when I was 8. I got saved when I was 21. Some of you have been there too. I grew up in church. Know the Bible, but I really wasn't saved because I didn't understand about a relationship. All I understood was I got to go to church. Can't have friends if they're not in the church. Can't do this if it's not in the church. Some of that was a bit extreme. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, I want to talk to you right now about people who tell you that Scripture says that tongues have passed away. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a lie. It's a lie. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 because this is where they get it. Start in verse 8. It says, love never fails. When does love fail?
Never.
Never. So it's full, right? But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Has anybody realized knowledge has not passed away? Prophecy has not ceased. So why should tongues pass away? For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. What is in part? Knowledge? Tongues? Prophecies? We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect. Here's where they come up with that. They say that when the Bible was canonized, it became perfect and that tongues no longer had a place. Now, I took several years of English in school, some of them by force. But I did learn how to understand. My reading comprehension was always pretty good, even if I couldn't always flow eloquently with the right words. I knew what I was reading. Nowhere have I seen where it's talking about the written word of God. Has anybody seen that? What were we talking about? It's the first sentence in verse 8. Love. Love never fails. That's what this chapter is. It's called the love chapter, by the way. That's what Paul's preaching on, is love. He's talking about love being perfected. He's not talking about, we finally got all 66 books together, got them all pinned down, sewed together, and put in a Bible. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about our love. Do I believe there's a time when tongues will have to cease? Yes. Now, I have these questions as far as, did Jesus pray in tongues? And I lean towards, more towards, no. Reason being, when that is perfected, when that which is perfected, when that which is perfected, he walked in perfect love. He had no need of tongues. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, came on him when he was baptized in the form of a dove. And it floated down there, and I forget, somebody was talking about that. We always, you know, tweet, 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 got a little bird that comes down here. Said, no, it wasn't a little dove that came down. He said it was the form of the Holy Spirit, and he just came down and rested upon Jesus. And so tongues have not passed away. Do I believe one day we will? Yes. But you know what? Here's the sad part about this. I think personally, most of us, love will only be perfected when we pass through those gates. We're constantly working on it. I don't know about you, but I am. And so, to the argument that tongues have passed away and that they're not for today, I just debunked it for you. It's a lie. That scripture is not referring to the canonical scriptures. It's referring to love. He was talking about love. When our love for each other is perfected. That's all Jesus, that's what Jesus came and preached. Do you guys realize that? That's all he ever preached. Love. To love God and to love your neighbor. There's actually three people you have to love. God, your neighbor, and yourself. Well, I don't believe in that self. You better start believing in a little bit of self-love. How are you going to love your neighbor? I can't love Richard if I don't love myself. If I treat Richard the way I treat myself, I tell you what, I actually had to curb some of my, I talk to myself, I don't know about you. Anybody else? You're by yourself, you call yourself names. I do the Fred Sanford thing, oh, you big dummy. You know, like, I got to stop that. I got to quit calling myself a big dummy. I love myself, I'm not dumb. I did something stupid, but that does not make me dumb. And so I had to curtail a lot of conversations with myself. People think you're weird if you do that. I find more people talking to themselves than... But I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can pray in all the tongues you want. And if you do, well, actually, I think it's verse 1 there says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I'm just noisy. That's all you are. Anybody know anybody that's noisy? Yeah, my dinner table. I got three boys vying for position. And the loudest one usually gets it. And it gets annoying real fast. If you don't operate in love, even with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are not going to get anywhere. You got to get back to the real issue of love. And when you pray, do it out of love. It's just like, you know, a lot of people there for years, you know, I know that probably from my parents' generation back from this further up, we've actually started changing some things, but you got spanked the minute you did something and they were mad. Oh, Dad's mad. Better look out. He's hot. Do you know that's the worst time to discipline your children? Because you're doing it out of anger. You're not doing it out of love. You want to hurt them. And I kind of like what the comedian Jeff Allen says. He says, what grown man can't beat up a three-year-old? Calm down, cool down, and do it out of love. They'll get something if you do it out of love. But if you do it out of hatred and anger, they aren't getting anything. Just like when you pray. It says pray for your enemies. I know a lot of people that pray for their enemies. You know, if your prayers could be, you know, like the cartoons, you know, your thoughts, you'd see daggers and bombs and things going up. That's what you'd see in some people's prayers. But it said to bless those who curse you. That's a hard thing to do. The best thing for you to do, unless you've been working on it and walking in love, you ain't going to be able to probably do it right away. Sometimes you got to step back, regain your bearing, get your composure, and then go on and say, all right, Father, I forgive so-and-so. I pray that you bless them. Because see, when you pray that God blesses somebody, what your idea and what God's idea of blessing might be something totally different. God considers a belt on the rear end a good thing from time to time. You might be saying, Lord, I don't want... Man, you know what Mike did to me? I don't want to bless Mike. I don't want you to give him a new car. Well, if Mike did... I'm just picking on you, Mike. But if Mike did something, God's going to say, that might not be what I'm going to give Mike. I might let Mike go through a little trial. God will do it. God knows what Mike needs. Just like your parents knew what you needed. Who knew you better when you was growing up? Your parents, you were with them for at least 18, 19 years, something like that usually. They knew you. They knew your attitudes. They knew when you were cranky, when you needed a nappy, and when you needed a slappy. God's no different. When you pray, bless. But like I said, you've got to have to get to where you can forgive. It means you've got to love. And you've got to be able to forgive yourself. You've got to forgive yourself of the mess ups you did. If not, you're not going to be able to forgive somebody else. Oh, but Pastor, I can. I can forgive him. I just can't forgive myself. No. Bible says you have to forgive everybody, including yourself. Now, one last scripture. 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to bring this up because the Holy Spirit told me to. How's that? 31. For if you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. What's that mean? In modern day vernacular, you're in charge. You control it. You can control it. It's not like you've got, when I was working at the nursing home, they always said, you always start and end life the same. Start out in diapers and end up in diapers. Well, I'm not ending up in diapers. I'll just tell you that right now. Ain't happening. But you can control your bowels, can you not? Nobody sat there and wet yourself today? But I'm sure you've got to go. If not, I'll make it a little longer until your eyeballs are starting to cross. We got a fountain somewhere we can run water. No, but you can control that, can you not? Yes, you can. You can control a lot of things. Now, your stomach growling, you can't control that. Drink lots of water until it's dinner time. Yeah, you could sit there. I used to have to do that English class, first period. I was notorious for not eating breakfast. I'd sit there... try to suck it in, compress it. It didn't work. Like, man, teacher's got to be able to hear that. But the gifts are subject. Okay? A lot of people say they can't control it. I'm going to tell you right now, yes, you can. Because if you can't control it, that makes the Word of God a liar. And, I have not found God to ever lie. Because there comes a point, you've got to pray in this, I'll go back to what in 14, what Paul was talking about. He said, if you just bring forth a message in tongues, who knows?
knows what you said. If I go over here and Mike has asked me to pray for him, and I just start praying in tongues, Mike ain't got a clue what I pray for him, so he can't say amen. But if I may pray a little bit in the spirit, and then I say, Lord, I pray right now that you bless Mike, you give him guidance and wisdom. Lord, direct his paths. Mike can say amen to that. But if I just run over here and just start rambling off something, he ain't got a clue what I just said. And he's like, okay, what am I supposed to say amen to? So you have to. But praying in the Holy Ghost, folks, is another weapon of itself. You pray in the natural and you pray in the spirit. And when you do that, you can see what God will do in your life. You will begin to see greater growth in yourself. And you might actually start finding it a little easier to walk in love. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what they say, but there's times I can pray in the spirit and just be praying and nothing. But then there's times when, like the other morning we were praying and Angela was praying. I'm not a morning person, so she leads the understandable parts. I'm like, okay, Lord, 5 o'clock is real early for me, especially when I went to bed at 2:30. So, but anyhow, she began to pray for somebody, and I began praying. I was right there in that second row coming out of it, and I was praying in the spirit. And boy, I tell you what, I felt the anointing hit and it on that. I don't know about you, but I like that. I like feeling the anointing. You can go, well, it's just the cheek. I don't care what you want to call it. The shivers up your spine, the tinglies, whatever. I love it. And I find it more in the house of God. So if that's where I got to get it, that's where I'll be. If I get that praying, that's what I'll do. But I love what it does. And there's even been times when we'd be praying, some other people we were praying with at one time, and we'd always get around and hold hands, and I just begin to pray and, be praying in the spirit. And I told Angela, I said, it was weird. I said, suddenly, a lot of times, sometimes I pray with my eyes open and I would look down and it just seemed like my arms were just stretching away and it just felt like I was stretching out and growing. And I said, it was an awesome feel. It was a little weird, because I'm like, okay, my feet are still the same distance away from me, but it feels like I just shot up to about 10 feet tall. Like I said, each one of us experiences something different in the Holy Spirit. Lord knew I wanted to, I asked God one time, he said, you can't change your stature, your stature 1 cubit, which is, again, is at 18 inches. I said, God, I really don't want to change my stature that far. I said, but I would like, 2, maybe 3 inches, just a little taller. The pants I got would still fit. And you know what I started noticing? God didn't grow me. He changed my perception. You may be taller than me. Now, there's some of you that are real tall, and it's obvious when I'm looking at your shoulder. I'm talking about this part of your shoulder. I'm looking at it. But there's some people that are a lot taller than me or that are just, taller. You don't feel that tall to me. God changed me inside. And I've gotten over it. I always wanted to be 6 foot. Just 6 foot, that's it. 5'10" would have been okay, but 6 foot. Because, see, I was always made fun of because I was short. Well, I've gotten over it.